Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in, rather, today, and well, for joining us for that matter, too. It's good to see you. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're having a wonderful Friday. It is Freya's Day today, July 22nd, 2022. I think that you were here too long.
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
There we go. All right. How are you guys doing? Hope you're doing well over in chat. Thank you for joining us live or later on in the archives. We have a jam-packed show as usual. We're going to talk about fascism a little bit later today. Talking about the ethnically fascist.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I know
so. Great scholar on fascism coming up here a little bit later.
Good entertainment.
A learned from, is it Harvard? Is it, I forget. One of the universities.
Hey, I saw that Twitter says they're going to ban the word groomer because they don't really exist. It's just a slur used to attack gay people. Well, if you aren't one, why would you be insulted by people using the word, right? So now I see that pedos is trending. Yes, very good. Some are very upset about that. But pedos is just an extremist conspiracy theory. They don't really exist. So is that going to be the next word they're going to try and get you banned for using? Mm-hmm. Calling someone just straight up pedo?
Yeah. Maybe we'll see. How about so they're following Reddit, right? They did that first, I think, right? Reddit banning that because it's. I guess the assumption here too is that using groomer is an LGBTQ slur.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But so it's an admission that they basically have the P addition is right.
Even if it's not there, literally, it's there in spirit. If you aren't one, why would you be insulted by people using that? against people that actually are groomers, by the way, and convicted pedophiles.
or newly found out. Actually, well, we have a story on that a little bit later, and we'll talk more about that. And as you said, the fascism stuff is coming up. That's kind of funny. We thought it was Elmo first, but I guess it was Rosita over in at Sesame Street.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It was a racist incident and Stop the Presses, world news. This
Rosita didn't shake the hands of two black girls.
Yeah, or waved or gave a hug or something, right? But anyways, we'll talk more about that because, of course, it pales in comparison to what white people are experiencing when it comes to racial hatred and animosity and violence against white people, primarily because of the momentous anti-white narrative that's being driven hard in the media right now. But anyway, we'll talk more about that later. Let's say this. EntropyStream.live/RedEyesTV. You have it down below. It's circling up to the your, what is it, right up there too. And that's a way to join in. Super Chats, we'll read those on the air. Odyssey is open as well. Thank you for joining us over there. I did see a couple there. Rumble is open as well. That has Super Chat options. We do have Power Chat, some questions about that, but we'll go into deep on that at some point. We have it as an option. Cointree as well, guys. But let me take these real quick. We had, what do we have here over on Odyssey? If that can load. I have a new instance on that. Usually that loads. If it doesn't load, we'll do the fact check thing first and we'll take these. Okay, well, let's do the fact check thing then, right? Should we do that first?
Yeah, a listener sent us this media biased fact check website. And you can go and check, authoritative news sources and who is completely fact checked and who is not. And so yours truly, Red Ice, is on there. You can't trust us, right? We're not like legit media. We're low on the scale. We're questionable.
Why not very low?
And it's basically like whoever's constructing this is like, oh, they're on the right, so therefore anything that they say is questionable and can't be believed. And even right here, when I read here, it says founded in 2003, right, blah, 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 and it says including Red Ice Radio and Radio 314 run by Henrik Palmgren. So right away, dang it, like you couldn't even fact check that correctly. Like 314 is me. It's not Henrik Palmgren's show. So right there, that's wrong. There's all this other stuff. And then they always have to mention like, oh my God, they had Richard Spencer and Andrew England was on there once. Hold, stop the presses. Mm-hmm. But the funny part is they quote the usual SPLC, the same crap. And then Henrik, they resort to a show that you had on, God, this has to be like 15 years ago. L.A. Marzulli? Who was talking about the Anunnaki, basically, like the Nephilim and stuff.
Yeah, fact-checking the
and
Nephilim.
And they're literally fact-checking ancient mythology. And they're like, according to Snopes, L.A. Marzulli is incorrect because the Anunnaki, that the Anunnaki aren't real or whatever,
Into his conspiracy, there's L.A. Marzulli who has false claim according to Snopes. And then if you click on that, isn't there... Yeah, something. They go to like ancient giants in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's like fact check.
I mean,
it's hilarious. It's like, well, you know, it's like 6,000 years ago, we had our boys in place. You know, we had the cat ladies in that couch,
the sweaty notes,
couch. Have
okay.
you seen the Snopes couch, by the way?
But it's just a bunch of bullshit, you know. And then I go and I type in some other things like Google News, and it's like, hi, trust, for that. And then also I just typed in
CNN, right? Pretty high.
I typed in Jewish, and just about all of those had high. Was it the Jewish Press? You can go into a high trust. You can trust them. A Jewish Policy Center, even Canadian Jewish News, the Forward, all of those were high readings because never incorrect.
Anything left-wing and anti-white is going to be scoring very high and trustworthy, very factual. And anything that criticizes that narrative is going to be scoring mixed to very low, right? Somewhere in between there.
I typed in Daily Caller and those types of outlets, and it was just mixed, but it wasn't like, you know, crapping all over them, like you can't trust them at all. You know?
Yeah, the kosher option, figure that.
But anyway, I thought that was kind of funny that if fact-checking the Anunnaki and the ancient giants in biblical times or whatever, you know.
Well, you know, if we just objectively look around in the world today, you look at the establishment, you look what they've accomplished, you look at where we are, just like on the map, in terms of the chaos we're experiencing. If you in any way are getting remotely any kind of praise, or you're being like lifted up by the establishment, or you're getting your awards or something, or like being highly, you know, venerated or something like that, you're on the wrong side. Yeah. You're doing a horrible mistake.
See that little yellow dot and the tip of that red arrow way, like, extreme opposite of the left? Like, I'm proud to be right there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Right on the tip of that spear, you know, going in the complete opposite direction from these insane people.
All right. Okay. So, you know, just one thing, right? We've seen, cool and in this heat, right? But we have you can take every topic we're going to talk about today, you can put that on that map, or thinking about like trustworthiness and as we compare it to what actually mainstream media is doing and stuff like that. And one, of course, thing is the weather issue, right? It's super hot right now, and this is one screenshot from Germany back in 2017 at the very top. Look at the color scheme that they're using, right? And then now in 2022, they've changed. This is psychological, right? This is like, I mean, this is basic 101 stuff, but it works, and most people don't think about it, right? It's now it's like burning orange, deep red. I've even seen, so if you look at the UK maps, it's like, it's almost bordering into like a black hole in some of them. It's like scorched earth.
It's fire.
Look at here.
It's a hell.
Look here in Edinburgh, Newcastle, Scotland. Like, it's just a black hole of scorched earth because of the temperature. Sometimes they bleed over into like a deep purple into black and
stuff
like
that. It's all those cows farting, you know. You got to blame them for that.
Yeah, but that's how it used to be. So it was warmer in 2017 in Germany, but the color scheme is completely different, right? Big news. That's how they do it. I can see these on Odyssey here, by the way, too. Let me take these real quick, guys. Thank you for that. Stay cool. Hot ass Hades out here. That's right, Lord Aragon. Thank you. Irish Nationalist Media says, defend European civilization. Thank you. Good to see you. Have you heard of the streaming platform? Shing.tv asks Tipsy McStagger. It's pro-white, free speech, and no pause. I think it would be cool to see you guys over there. Is it, can anybody sign up? Have you heard of it? I haven't heard of it. I think I came across it once, actually. I think I have. I will check it out. Thank you, Tipsy. I appreciate that. Truth Seeker says, thank you. The info is much appreciated. Thank you. And a coin here from View Askew. Thank you. Did you hear that the SEC want to make crypto illegal in the U.S.? Libra and Odyssey were in court this week defending crypto from Jacqueline, 1996. Yes, we saw that. We talked about Odyssey a while back, how they're targeting them, like, specifically. I think it's happening for a very specific reason.
Yes.
But I did not know that it was this week they were back in court, so I had to follow up on that. Maybe we'll talk about that over the weekend or something. But they've basically been trying to destroy them on every level. Mm-hmm. Was it they're trying to say it's a security, I think, or something, as opposed to, what is the other one, an asset? I forget which order that goes.
They didn't bother DLive about that, did they?
No, but they followed. They followed suit, right? Mm-hmm. They followed. What do you call it? They obeyed.
Took orders.
Yes, they after J6, right? Everyone was banned essentially. All right, thank you guys. That's
Robo Think. Happy Friday. Keep swinging that Big D energy.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that. That's very kind of you. So here's another example. Right, climate. Right. So we talked about the climate. I think this is an older clip, but it could be good to play again. It's and keep this in mind too. Politics of fear, right? The fascist scholar we're going to listen to later, he talks about how the, well, it's all fear that's driving this fascism, you know, kind of thing. But it's like everything that we're exposed to, everything they're doing to us is fear. Like if you don't do what we tell you, you're going to die, right? The mm-hmm. climate's going to, COVID, you're going to die. It's a pandemic. Everybody's going to die.
Fear listen and panic at all
fear
times.
Fear porn at every, around every corner, right? So here's a clip regarding how, when rather, if, we'll see, but the COVID thing could bubble back here this autumn, we'll see. But when that simmers down a bit, it will be straight back onto the climate agenda. Now, of course, because of the we're in summer and it's a little warmer than, you know, in the rest of the year, it kind of happens, right? Then it's just like 100%, like just we're all going to die. You think this is just the beginning. Listen to this here.
This story comes up, they're going to latch onto it. They've already announced inner office that once...
CNN guy, by the way, I forgot to mention
be
that.
Open to it. We're going to start focusing mainly on climate climate, like global warming, and like that's going to be our next, like,
this is why this guy's not in front of the camera.
I don't know, like,
not that they're in a better
it's going to be our focus, like our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was, right? So our next thing is going to be for climate change awareness.
What does that look like?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I have a feeling that she's going to be, like, constantly showing videos of, like, decline and ice and weather warming up and like the effects it's having on the economy and really talking about it.
Just manufacturing it basically.
Yeah, the network, like just
who's that?
Hype in this
Zucker?
Area.
Zucker, yeah. I imagine that he's got his council and they've all like discussed like where they think
so that's like the next
pandemic like story like that will
we'll
beat
to
death.
Plan these things in advance.
It turns out that at CNN, yes, they're gonna
they already
beat
know
to
what's
death.
Gonna happen.
They're gonna
6
beat
from
to
now?
Death the story of climate. In fact, after COVID has simmered down
I
a bit,
I see ratings tanking.
Yes, that's, you know, just a quick search, right? Heat wave, right? Where's the scorching July heat wave is hitting the U.S.?
It's been
like,
freezing forever, and it was the summer was late in a lot of places. Like, yeah. It's fine.
There's a Guardian here. Unless we act soon, this heat wave is just a taste of things to come.
Last summer was way hotter.
I saw the UK was putting reflective material around the chains on bridges. Because I was like, wait a minute, is this in the water? What's going on here? Was some chain on one of the bridges, I forget which one it was now, that was like couldn't get over 13 degrees Celsius, which is like... Can't they develop
design
a metal that's like kind of don't have, I don't know, can take a little more heat?
It does get warm.
I don't know. It's just weird things like this, right? And it's like, oh my God, tarmacs are melting and like all that stuff. And it's like, yeah, I don't know, whatever. It's just like, my God. Another one here, real quick. One of those conspiracies, right? This is the kind of stuff we've talked about on the show. You know, go back. Always keep that in mind. Keep in mind the fact check here, right? We're the problem, right? Not like the medical establishment and stuff like that. Experts say pill-prescribing psychiatrists knew that depression isn't caused by low serotonin levels, as landmark study shows that pricey drugs do little to help mental health. Big surprise, right? $15 billion industry. $15 billion industry, rather. Dr. Jonathan Raskin said he has been concerned the theory was incomplete for a while. Like, yeah, in fact, SSRIs, that's primarily what they're talking about here, is creating like mass shooters and stuff like that. It's actually like a messing with people's chemistry in their brain and stuff. It doesn't do anything to help to solve the problem of depression. It makes things gradually worse. You might like not feel anything for a little
just
while.
Just be numb.
But afterwards, I mean, that's
I gotta horrible. Have a tip there. If you do struggle with depression or you're having a day where you feel down, there's a great amino acid called SAMe, S-A-M-E. E, look into it. It is incredible. I know in Germany it is a prescription only, which is a joke
because
it's just an amino acid. It's also good for your joints, but it definitely will make you feel happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's good. What isn't there? Was there another one? Maybe that.
I mean, that's the best one.
Yeah, yeah.
Sammy.
And again, there's like a number of natural ways you can do this. I mean,
of course,
there's
diet,
more. What is it like? Exercise. White women over 40 is like, I mean, out of control in level of like so-called happy pills that they're on, right? So, anyways, this is not a big surprise. This is, we don't have to go through the story. We know this kind of stuff, right? But it's like, no, they can like the medical establishment that can kill us, right? But like, no fact checking on like what actually
nope.
They pushed on like from mainstream media's point of view and all their advertisers over the last four decades now. No, we're the problem. See,
no, they're gonna fact check the Anunnaki instead before SSRIs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. We're gonna. Well, there's no.
Years ago, you did the show on ancient aliens.
Well,
so
which was about something like a mythological story 6,000 years ago.
We're gonna. Which is cool. It's cool to talk about that stuff.
All right. Anyway, so the next one here is actually consideration that pedo was trending here today on Twitter. Let's look at the clip. I'm not gonna give any context. Just listen to this clip first. And then we'll come back with the shocking twist here at the end.
I'm a resident, townie, taxpayer, vaccinated and functioning, graduate of this high school, class of 1999,
high school.
Proud member of the LGBTQIA community, and an employee of Mount Pleasant Public Schools. Thank you. I really cannot speak any more eloquently than the people who have spoken before me tonight. But what I can say is that for the last 5 years, I have had the profound privilege of working with your students, with your students, with your students. And I can tell you this, they are hungry for knowledge. They are so hungry for knowledge that despite your words, your wishes, your values, they will learn on their own.
It's like religious.
So many of your children are hurting, questioning, struggling in this world that we have created. They are simultaneously being taught to celebrate and to hate who they are. I can't deny that. Every day. Ultimately, they will become who they will become with or without us. Give them the chance, the grace, and the support to
like
embrace their own
church
learning. They're going to do
religion.
It anyway. No matter what you say or do, no matter how many candles you light, no matter how many rallies you hold.
Not many people.
With there. Liberty and justice for all.
Amen. Right. See, they're even like,
exactly.
Preach it.
Praise it. Preach it. Preacher.
God.
You know,
so it's not a student. This is a teacher talking.
Yeah. So it's always this, is that cringe when they always say like, inclusivity, right? Everybody needs rights and, okay.
Not if you're
what they mean,
white and don't hate yourself.
What they mean is that they want the pedophiles also to be included in those rights, right? So, big surprise, Michigan school employee who called for LGBT lessons, mock parents, was arrested for pedophilia.
Let's see the mug. Yep. He really does have that look.
Man,
when I heard him talking, it's like he just wants access to these kids, and it's so important. It's this religious thing, and he's like obsessed about it, like my kids and all this, and I must indoctrinate them. So you're telling me he's a groomer pedophile. Yes,
pedophile
groomer.
A white guy shows up with a BLM shirt and talk about how hungry the kids are for knowledge and learning.
Yeah.
Then he's like, okay. Eric Roman taunted parents and mocked their values as he lobbied the school board to push his LGBTQP agenda. Now he's been arrested for
pedophilia. How many stories do we see like this? It's like literally every week. Every week, evidence that these people are groomers and grooming. And they're emboldened now more than ever.
He's an employee of Mount Pleasant, Michigan's public school system, and he was arrested as part of an Isabella County Sheriff's Office sting operation that also saw two more alleged child predators put behind bars. According to local reports, Isabella County law enforcement was assisted in the sting by agents from the FBI and the Michigan State Police. This is actually a sting operation I approve of. Any other case? No. But it's like if you're
busting pedophiles,
putting
let's go.
Decoys out and lure them with kids and stuff, and if they're trying to go for them, yeah, take them, catapult them into the sun after that. So let me see what happened here. All three were arrested for using a computer to commit a crime and accosting a minor for immoral purposes. Police allege that the three communicated over various social media apps with decoys posing as children. The three are accused of going to a location to have sex with a child where they were arrested, the report goes on to explain. So there you go. Eric Roman,
zero tolerance. But these are the people.
Them pedos,
these are the people that Reddit and Twitter and Google will defend, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Big surprise. Why am I always surprised,
You just can't have your children in these schools. You can't trust any school. Even in the nicest, conservative areas, there's a pedo that slipped in.
There's a pedo right there. Sio Free says, Big Pharma, huge advertisers on media, hence media welcomes lies and profit. Yeah, that's right. And then they can poison us in the process, too, right? Okay, let's move on here in the list. What else do we have here? The Marburg. This is good stuff here. Ghana declares first Marburg virus disease outbreak. Is this more fear porn or is actually something to it? It's a big question, right? Will they stop airline traffic
coming from Ghana to the West?
Probably not. We got to
get them in and treat them.
We have to let more of them in now to counter-signal how not racist we are. Ghana announced the country's first outbreak of Marburg virus disease after the World Health Organization laboratory confirmed earlier test results. The Institut Pasteur in Dakar, Senegal, received these samples from two unrelated deceased patients. The World Health Organization said in an email statement, both showed symptoms including diarrhea, fever, nausea, and vomiting, and sought treatment at the hospital within days of each other. The World Health Organization is supporting a joint national investigative team in Ghana's Ashanti region and alerting neighboring high-risk countries as well. Health authorities have responded swiftly, getting a head start, they said here too. But anyway, we'll see where that goes. Marburg has been one of these big problems, apparently, that's looming. The World Health Organization have dropped a couple of clues about this in the past, and they've said, like, that's the next big pandemic kind of thing, right?
That's right, and here we are.
All right, so we'll see how that goes. But anyway, speaking of Big Pharma, it was actually a Swedish story here. Maybe I should have translated this, but it's basically about from Nya Dagbladet talking about how toddlers, young children, have been injected with a C19, the magical juice vaccine, at health facilities in Sweden, which is, of course, have not been approved, right? There's been this circus back and forth of like, well, there's specifically one of these vaccines that have been, not that that makes it better, but at least, from their perspective, it's like, okay, they're talking about like this, here's the approved vaccine, here's one of them, give them this then at least, right? No, there's this perception, it's like, oh, no, all COVID vaccines have been approved, so we can give anything to all kids, anything. It's like, I don't think there is anything yet within the EU of below five, right? They in Swedish health clinics, they've given kids as young as 1 year with these injections now, right? Absolutely insane. They said that they've taken part of a list of 800 kids in Sweden under 12 that have been vaccinated with the COVID magical mRNA juice. And many of these children fall within 5 to 11 years. They have to be classified for a special group or whatever. But the point is, they don't care. They set up rules and they set up like, well, these are the procedures we got to follow, and then they just break them. It doesn't matter. If you shows up with a one year old, get COVID shot, yeah, go ahead. Go right ahead. Just, we won't stop you.
I just can't fathom being these parents. They just so much trust.
Yeah.
Zero long-term studies.
Yep. Yep. There's more on this too, right?
Oh, yes. I saw a Toronto area, casket manufacturer has seen a huge rise in coffins for not only smaller babies, but particularly in youths, like what he said, like 6 to 14 years old or something, and how this is coincided with the vaccine rollout. There's actually a clip in there that we can play of the guy talking. There's just a little snippet that we can play. Cue it up and he tells us.
This is Vlad from.
This is from the beginning, right?
No, it's not.
No. Okay.
It's from like 8:55 in.
Okay, let me go forward. 8:55, you said?
Yep.
All right, let's do that.
Because it's long. It's like 15 minutes.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, ooh, that's long. Okay.
Smaller size caskets. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's happening with a lot of things too. Like, it's not just the small caskets, but they're the most unique and standout ones because, like I said, and many other statements I've made, teenagers and young, you know, age 6 to 12, those are some robust human beings. Their bones are damn near rubber. You know, they don't really get sick from common colds and whatnot. But, you know, now those are the sizes that we're selling. So what's happened? You know, what's happening?
Yeah, that is interesting. So the ratio used to be 5 to 1, 5 adult, standard adult size to 1 youth. And now you're saying it might be double the number of youths.
Yeah. Like I said, like, this is the beginning of it. I mean, if we got back and had this conversation 1 year from now, I might be able to give you like a proper analysis of like the actual growth.
Right.
But this has all happened in the last 6-7 months for us. So it's new, but it is measurable. Like the first few orders are bigger than any we've had. Mind you, like I said, the other casket sales are also dramatically up. So yeah, all sales across the board are higher than usual. Adults. And they're
all right. That's what he's saying.
And anyway, this is also mirrored with other funeral directors who have been saying similar things. I was Milton Keynes Family Funeral Services. I think this was in England. There's been someone in Austin. Like, there's been several of these guys who have come out of these coffin manufacturing companies, and his family owns one. You know, so that's frightening. Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is happening.
Hospital is covering up baby vaccine deaths. Funeral home whistleblowers. Hospitals are covering up baby vaccine deaths by cremating babies themselves. Let's listen to a little bit. I forget how long this was. Let me see here. Can we get that to load? Let's listen just a little bit on this here.
I've been a funeral director for over 3 years. So I have a bit of knowledge about what was going on before this pandemic started and what's going on right now. So there was a spike back in March, April last year, and after that it considerably calmed down. It was all hyped from what I was seeing. And they shut down these extra storage units that they had in the summer, and they never opened them up again.
Did they use them in the first place?
Yes, but I don't think that. I couldn't tell you how many bodies were in there, but they soon went back down. They were only up for a couple of months.
So the only time you saw a spike was right at the start of this whole thing, and since there's been next to nothing?
Well, come autumn, it was probably one of the quietest on record, and other funeral directors will tell you that, where they can speak out. But come January, the numbers were going through the roof. But this time,
yes, it went down. Like, they almost, like, it was lower because people didn't take part in normal, like, civilization,
yeah, exactly,
in a way anymore, right? Like, normally you have accidents, a car accident.
That's
like,
what the other guy said.
Just
too.
Actually lowered, and then just vaccine introduction, boom, a huge spike, right? Anyway, this is a longer clip, but you get that idea. The point is, I'm playing this to show there's more of these funeral directors that are actually spoken out about this, and they're talking about it. And they're covering this shit up. And as we've said many times, I think we haven't even seen the initial, like, cusp of this. I think there's going to be a massive wave eventually. And then they will blame it on something else. So they say it's... I mean, we saw that now in... I'm not saying that all of those are vaccine deaths, but now it's like, oh, people are dying of random things because of the heart disease, or it's too hot, right? They're dying of heat exhaust, like all these things, right? So they'll jump on it. And... speaking of overpopulation or depopulation, I guess, to a certain extent, I wanted to play this clip here with none other than Jane Goodall sitting at the World Economic Forum and talking about her little depopulation. Because, of course, a lot of people have speculated this is why they're partially the introduction of the vaccines.
Sure, of course.
Is part of this, right? They actually want fewer people, you know, Guidestones, Georgia Guidestones, all that stuff. But listen to what she says here, and let's see if you notice something else with this clip here.
We cannot hide away from human population growth because you know, it underlies so many of the other problems. All these things we talk about wouldn't be a problem if there was the size of population that there was 500 years ago.
What was the population 500 years ago? I think we have a 90% increase in the populations if you go back that far. Do you see something else going on?
Yeah, her necklace. I noticed that right away.
From human population.
Africa.
Let me zoom in on that. Look at that.
why do I feel like they're always just addressing Europeans, that they're not saying, hey, what about the African population? Looks like she's celebrating it to me.
She has the Africa there because she loves Africa. That's all it's about, right? That's the stuff right there.
God, and of course, embarrassing.
Ironically, Jane Goodall in here, she's sitting at the World Economic Forum, right? This is like she's part of these organizations that have helped to, of course, you know, propel the world population, ironically, specifically in places like Africa, right? Again, this might not pan out to be true. I understand that. But with current trajectories and where things are going, they are slated to be about 10 billion by 2050, right? There's other studies on this. They're talking about that it's only sub-Saharan Africa that are set to sustain this rapid population growth. And right now, of course, they're even talking about, due to the kind of collapsing food system and other insecurities, now there's going to be basically a migration wave as well, right? To
America, she would love all of Africa, right? In Europe.
I guess so. So the point is here. Let's decrease the populations in specifically the West, right? In European countries, countries founded by Europeans, and then we won't say anything about the population explosion in Asia and Africa and some of these places, because that would be, of course, racist to say that. But then you drive a policy that's causing them to, like, being forced to leave their countries and come to ours, right? So that they want, like, I guess that's why, maybe that makes sense then. Maybe that's why she has the Africa necklace. She wants that, like, all to herself, right? She actually wants to depopulate Africa by having all of them come to Europe and America or something. All right. You want to take a couple of
them? Yeah. Marty Leeds, 33. Turns out Goal is just a big Toto fan. Lol, she cares more for monkeys than
men. Look, Goal. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
She does, doesn't she? Was she the one who had some, like, sign language with the monkeys or something like that?
Was that her?
Yeah, she was sitting, just spending all this time. And I don't think she has kids, right? And, I mean, she was spending all this time with the silverback gorillas.
So these, like, poor little African babies and monkeys in Africa are her children, basically. She's got to save them all.
Yep.
JP says, Henrik and Lana, did you hear about the murder charges being dropped against a Hispanic bodega worker? No, who stabbed a black guy in self-defense? I'm pretty sure had it have been a white guy acting in self-defense, a Manhattan DA would never drop the case. I didn't hear about that.
I remember hearing about the bodega, like, the incident there, but I did not hear that it was dropped. Of course. Huh. Yeah, which side will they fall on? You know, sometimes it's...
Sometimes Hispanics are white, sometimes they're not, right?
Yeah, depends. Right, exactly. All right, I got to look into that. That's interesting. So we're talking about, you know, populations and movement of populations. And of course, in the UK, they've had this just pathetic response to the still ongoing, by the way, migrant crisis. It's never stopped. It's just continued. Borders remain open, essentially, right? And especially over the summer, it ticks up or whatever. But I wanted to read this just to give you an idea of, like, how they're dealing with this, and that it feels like this intentional helplessness in front of the situation. Like, they don't want to deal with it. Even if they could deal with it, they wouldn't deal with it. Week of criticisms and revelations over Home Office's handling of migrant crisis. Here are this week's developments, right? And so there's been a record number here, it says, too. The Home Office in the UK, their response to the migrant crisis has been the focus of a series of critical reports. That's all it is, right? There's a report out to being critical, but they don't do anything about it. And revelations about its policies this week. The left, of course, the Labour Party is like, oh my God, they want to try to stop immigration. Nothing happens, of course, right? But it's like, that's bad and racist. We have to open up and let everybody in. The latest news that Britain stands to lose £120 million that it has paid to Rwanda.
Oh, jeez.
If its plan to deport migrants, it's ruled unlawful by the court. So they've paid them money, Rwanda, to ensure, like, can you help us do something about the migrant? And they're like, sure. And then it's like, they keep coming. And then nothing happens, and now they lost the money. That's what it's looking at happening. And then at the same time, the courts in the UK will deem that it's unlawful to deport these migrants, although they're illegal. So they're like, they lose, and lose a little bit more, and then lose some more. That came against the backdrop of a court disclosure about the controversial policy, as well as several reports containing damning findings and rising crossing numbers. Here's a little bit of the stats. 2021 was records. 2022 so far is slated to beat that record that we saw in 2021. The Commons Home Affairs Committee found that there was no evidence the Rwanda policy was acting as a deterrent. In other words, it didn't help at all. Here's a bunch of money. As usual, remember the EU too? They paid like Morocco money. They pay Turkey. They pay.
They're just throwing it down the toilet. Course, they're just like, oh, you dumb white people. We'll take your money and not do anything. In fact, we'll just send more of the people that we don't want here over there. Like, yeah. How could they be such suckers?
They're being screwed over.
Total
and I'm saying,
suckers.
It's intentional. They want to be screwed over. That's what I'm saying, right? Last week, Home Secretary pretty. And then, of course, you don't even have English people in England, in the UK, and we're no British people that are actually taking care of things. It's just like all they're being replaced now, right? But anyways, the Home Secretary pulled out of being questioned by MPs and then declined the committee's request to appear in front of them before Parliament's summer recess. More than 15,000 people were recorded arriving in the UK in 2022 so far, almost double the number this time last year, 2021. Anyway, and they go on to talk about all these groups that are like trying to basically let them all in, right? Care for Calais, detention action, asylum aid are challenging the legality of the Home Office policy to try to stop this. All the policy has been to say, here's more money, please help us. Can you do something? No, we can't do anything. Some migrants issued with Rwanda removal directions have already been released from immigration detention because as yet another flight has not been scheduled. So they're just they're illegally here, letting them all out, and then they're paying the money for it. I'm just showing this to show like how utterly pathetic and useless and helpless they are when it comes to these things, right? On the flip side, though, what they will love, and there's more in this story, which is just incredible. Like, what in the hell? What was it, the other money here? Let me see, what's this here?
£5 million spent a day, they say, to house them.
The Rwanda government confirmed it has received £120 million from the UK, the entire initial payment for the agreement signed by the UK in April, and said the funds are already committed with some money spent on preparations for arrivals, right, to send them back. But nothing has happened, right? It's not worked as a deterrent or anything like that. So meanwhile, to solve, of course, these border crises, what's going to happen? Well, the actual British people, the English people, are going to have this wonderful new technology in place where they're basically, it's going to be super easy to travel. You can go wherever you want. There's only one little caveat, and that says, well, we have face scanning technology that's going to go in everywhere. They're selling this as a good thing, right? Brits will be able to skip passport queues and breeze through border controls in the UK under contactless corridor plans using facial recognition technology. This is the thing we talked about, like they create chaos and it's like, oh my God, it's a migrant crisis. Give us more money and we'll build some technological system so we can surveil everything and everybody. And I'm not saying that this is a solution that they're offering to the migrant crisis, but it will be sold as that eventually. Priti Patel announced plans to begin the rollout of contactless border crossings. Foreigners will be able to apply for permission to enter the UK before even starting their journey. So that's how the thing of the other story, by the way. They're talking about how they're like sitting in Rwanda, pre-planning everything. They're like, seeking asylum. They're squaring everything away from there. And then they just come fly right in, right into society. But locals are going to have their faces scanned. It's going to be facial recognition technology everywhere. Airlines will be required to check passengers and have permission to travel before boarding, similar to systems in the U.S., Canada, New Zealand, and Australia, right? I don't think do they have facial recognition systems yet in the U.S.? Unless they've done that over the last 2 years, because I haven't been traveling, not by air.
I mean, they have like some of the scans and all that, right? The eye scans when you come in through the border.
Yeah, it's possible, right?
They already have that. I mean, I'm telling you, they have that.
Okay. Yeah.
So they make some, people when you're going in, right? They scan your eyes. Don't they even do that with foreigners coming into the country?
No, that's what I'm saying. Probably don't, right?
Like Europeans, I remember.
If you enter illegally, you're outside of that whole system anyway.
Yeah.
Right? But you still get let in. Nothing happens, essentially. And you can come and reap all the benefits from white supremacist civilization. How about that? All right, should we talk about the? I thought it was Elmo
yeah,
first.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. So there was this dumb parade. It was a Sesame Place. There's a Sesame Place character. This new one called Rosita, this one in the green there. I hate Sesame Street. I never liked Sesame Street as a kid. I always got a bad vibe from it. It always annoyed me. Remember, Big Bird was recently used to push, you know, this vaccine propaganda to kids and everything. But there are these two black girls. We'll see in this video how they say they got snubbed, right? because of racism that this character didn't stop and shake their hands, but shook the white kids' hands next to
them. Now, keep in mind, these are some of the most biggest problems that we're
horrendous
facing.
Horrendous racist right now. Acts in the country right now. And this is like everywhere in the news, everywhere. So let's just see the video, and then I have more to say about it afterwards.
Uh-oh. My God. Let's take a look at that
big
again.
News. Hold the presses.
Big snub. Look at that. Oh, clearly it's a racist in that costume right there.
Oh, see, and one of them gave a high five, and he was like,
no,
little thing like, oh, don't
did
touch
it
me.
To the white? No, can't touch. And then he walked away, right?
Look at that.
Yeah.
Okay, so now it's big news. It's everywhere. Oh, my God, the racism in America, the white supremacy. We don't even know who's in that suit. Chances are it's someone brown or it's a white leftist, right? So one of the young girls is reportedly isolating with their grandma in an attempt to regain stability, the family's attorney says, Lamar. He said both the girls were overcome with emotion and incredibly upset that they were treated differently than the white child. Their hearts were completely shattered by this character, the family said. And tickets are not cheap. This is something these girls were looking forward to. Words can't describe the type of grief they are going through right now. Right after the character passed them, there was another little girl next to them who was of a different race. Rosita hugged her, their mom, Jody Brown, told CNN. At that time, I'd already stopped recording the video. I was upset, so I stopped the video because I was like, what just happened? Their attorney said that the move to isolate one of the girls with their grandmas to help shield her from publicity in a safe environment. The family's also looking into getting the siblings into therapy to help them cope after this event. Well, Sesame Place released a statement, of course, saying that their performer did not use the no hand gesture at any specific person, but was using a gesture to respond to multiple guests. The Rosita performer did not intentionally ignore the girls and is devastated about the misunderstanding. This is what the statement said. And you know that that's the truth. This is totally blown out of proportion.
Well, there were pictures showing how this character was hugging a bunch of people.
There was a bunch of non-whites there. It was like a majority non-whites anyway. We spoke to the family and extend our apologies and invite them back for a special meet and greet opportunity with their characters. Also, Sesame Place announced that all their staff now, because of this event, will undergo bias training. In response to this statement, right, what happened, the family said, you should be ashamed of yourselves for this pathetic statement. Pathetic statement? Like, isn't this good enough? No, now they're considering filing a lawsuit so they can milk it and cash in on this imagined racism. I couldn't find anything about the identity of this Rosita character in the suit, but I'm sure they're already trying to dox, like, who is this person? But as I said, we know that Sesame Street is run by anti-white lefties. There's communists there. They promote all their, like, anti-Western and pro-vaccine garbage, right? Clot shots for kids and all the rest of it. Like, they are not racist. This person in the suit is not singling out your kids and not shaking their hand because they're little black girls. I mean, it's just total hysteria. They want it to be so. It's like this mom wants it to be so, so she can go on CNN and then she can file this lawsuit and she can get the pity party and get the money, right?
So look at the amount of stories I'm scrolling through here, right? Of just, I mean, international news, right?
Just Google Rosita
Tons of stories, Sesame Street or racism, Sesame or whatever, like the combinations thereof. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stories are covering this, international news. And so keep that in mind here as we look at some of the other stuff in a moment. But
because
first,
a fuzzy character didn't shake their hand. Yeah, keep that in mind as we.
So I want to show you, Joy Reid had a guest on to talk about this. And it was, listen just to some of these comments of how they're treating this thing.
I see she has blonde hair now, too.
What's that?
She has blonde hair now, too. She hates white people, but she likes the blonde hair, huh?
I mean, she has hair. Usually she has a mop on there.
Jeez. A viral video appears to capture Sesame Street character Rosita brushing off two young black girls reaching out for hugs during a parade. That's according to the mother of one of the girls who posted the video on Instagram.
And shake every single one of their hands the whole time.
Police initially apologized in a statement saying the performer's no hand gesture was not specifically directed at the girls. Well, when that didn't go over so well, they released a second apology saying we are committed to making this right.
The kids are supposed to be, you know, happy and, you know, acknowledged and greeted and having a good time. So the fact that this even happened, the fact that this is even going to be a core memory for them, to Sesame Place is actually disgusting and unbelievable. Now that I spoke up and released my video, now there's multiple
a non-biased panel here. It's going to fill us
in. It's a very diverse, it'll definitely look at this from
unfiltered
all
truth here.
No dog in this fight.
We have similar videos with that character doing the same thing to the same race of children. So for me, that's not a coincidence at all.
Well, so basically, they're on to us, right? They're on to us by us going in hiding in
furry suits,
just so we can
act out our racism to
inflict
black girls.
Trauma on the psyche of young black children. Listen to this interviewer here. They bring on
the family theoretically do here because it is emotional distress, right?
Oh my god, emotional distress! Oh my god,
is this the lawyer who wants to cash in?
No.
It's absolutely emotional.
It's just like a rando guest talking about it.
Distress, and I do think that at a minimum, the family should be looking to pursue some level of legal remedy. That
Give us money then. If you want something, give us the money. But it
just
gets,
shout racism.
It gets better.
Addresses what happened with injunctive relief and potentially some degree of financial compensation. Now, before we talk about being litigious, I think for me the biggest takeaway and the bigger point is
civil
that
rights
believe
attorney.
Black people.
Are you joking?
Yeah.
Okay, when we have these experiences where we say that something happened because of what it is and how it is that we show up and the skin that we show up in, we're not making this up. And
I think
I love that the black bodies we have in our body. We just, you know, we're all the same, but we just have this different body, right?
Oh, the drama.
The new terminology, new cultural Marxist terminology that they should. Anyway, whatever. It's not about that, but it's funny.
Is right? And how it is that we show up and the skin that we show up in. We're not making this up. And I think all too often there is a haste in which people look to tell us, no, what you experienced is not what actually happened. When in fact, we know very well that it is. And what we have learned in the coming, you know, in the following days and the moments after this has occurred, is that more people have spoken out and more people have said, "Oh, I actually had the same experience."
Oh yeah. Oh, it happened to me. As
I
want to
cash in on this potential lawsuit. Yeah. Turns out Sesame Street also did that to my kid at the last parade.
Me Too movement, right? A little bit late in the game, you jump on it because you realize there's financial gain in it. And of course, it's also not just about the money. It's about actually inflicting, like, we're living in a white supremacy society, and this is what civilization does.
Platform, and they're just like, you know, crapping all over white people all the time on it.
I mean, excuse me, but I mean, Jussie Smollett, what was the news car guy, the NASCAR guy who faked the news?
Plenty of hate hoaxes.
I mean, it's just one after. There's black girls drawn swastikas on their doors, at their dorms, and things like that. I mean, was another news that was investigated? Turned out it was just a piece of plastic or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's total hysteria.
Like, that's what we're looking at. But he wants this, no, believe, you know how it is, believe all women, right? No,
believe all blacks.
All
black skin.
Basically, that's what he wants here.
And so it is the most abhorrent form of gaslighting for you to tell these
now
people.
Now, this is gaslighting. And we're going to talk about the replacement circuit later here, circus, about like how that's a conspiracy theory. No, but this is the real gaslighting here, folks. It's about the Elmo costumes at Sesame Street.
Rosita.
Yeah, whatever. Same shit.
No, I know that you think what happened to you, but it really didn't happen to you.
That's
when
right.
In fact, we know that it did, and this happens all the time, which is why it's important that these
families... This is like the worst racism they have to point to. And there isn't even anything to point to.
Yes, yeah, like that's why they talk about microaggressions, because there are no microaggressions, right?
No.
And then this is what it is.
Whereas, anyway, like, our people, I know we'll get into
later.
We'll
get to that here, yeah. Yeah, just a few examples. Right?
Together as a collective, look to hold Sesame Place and its ownership accountable. The show Sesame Street exists in a vacuum and a utopia called television, where you can edit, where you can look at things more closely and understand how they work. The unfortunate reality is that Sesame Place is an actual place with actual people who bring their prejudices, who bring their privilege, who bring their blind spots.
They're all lefties. Who bring their bigotry. They're all liberals at Sesame Street. This has come out time and time again. They're like BLM supporters. So go ahead, attack them.
Yeah, no,
I hate Big Bird and Elmo and all that crap.
This is all they can do. They just turn on each other at the end, which I think is good, right? But interesting last comment here. Listen to this.
Prejudices, who bring their privilege, who bring their blind spots, who bring their bigotry to their jobs and hide literally behind a mask as a means of being able to express these things.
So we were onto them. That they're intentionally going and seeking these roles and positions so they can oppress other races, right?
Oh my god! And I mean, and like the guy who works at Sesame Street, who dresses up in the Big Bird costume, he goes there every day. It turns out just so he can like
scar young
hide
black children
and be racist behind his Big Bird suit.
This is actually a thing here, right? Remember this with the Gru character? Listen to this. This is just a while ago, right? Just a flashback here.
4:30. We are learning two families are now suing Universal Orlando after an incident in which one of their actors is seen using a gesture used by white supremacists.
Yeah, this all happened while taking pictures with those kids. News 6's Crystal Moyer is live outside Universal Studios. And Crystal,
oh my God. Big news. The families is suing. Big incident.
Live, a hand gesture. And a kid. Live, someone didn't, you know, wave to the two black kids. This is insane.
Well, those families are suing for emotional and physical damages as a result of photos taken with the now former actor here at Universal Studios in Orlando. According to a report in the lawsuit, a 6-year-old girl brought the photo.
Huh?
Come on, freezing up.
You're going to wig out on me? Let me go forward a little bit here.
Come on, we got to see the photo.
You got to see the photo, right?
Yeah, the photo.
let me reload that.
The fun thing.
Real quick. Real click.
In the meantime, Beetlejuice.
All new at 4:30. We're learning two families are now suing you.
Talking about this,
a white supremacy symbol.
We're talking about this photo here, taken in March of 2019.
Yep.
Court documents show the biracial child took this picture with a Universal employee dressed as Gru from the Despicable Me franchise. It was during a character breakfast at one of Universal's resorts in Orlando. The actor displays the OK symbol on the girl's shoulder. We've blurred the image of the
banana?
Movie offensive to some.
Holy cow.
The gesture defined as a hate symbol by the American Anti-Defamation League.
Gosh.
The latest court documents filed referencing several high-profile crimes.
All right, anyway, you get the idea. So this is actually a thing. These are the kinds of...
There was another one who did an OK symbol, too.
Yeah, there's been
a few.
Yeah, there's been a few of those.
So that's why they're like, oh my God, it's a thing, right?
There's people that like sports... I forget what it was. There was some kind of sport. They were like an announcer or something. I forget. But there's been a few of these, right? But so the point here...
These blacks think it's now some conspiracy, some infiltration conspiracy.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, as he said there, he's basically saying, well, they're gaslighting us into thinking this is not really happening, right? Are you you're denying our lived experiences, kind of thing. But I thought we could just do. Let's take a look at a little bit of a compilation.
Our lived experiences.
But yeah, just look. I'm not saying that these are the only stories that they hone in on, but the fact is that these are the things that blow up. They become national media in the U.S. Major coverage. They become international stories in some regards as well. Meanwhile, I know of, 1,000 cases.
I'm sorry, they're incidents.
Yeah, where white people are beaten up, in some cases, probably because they are white. And you know, the reason you know that is because we have this vehement anti-white media, right? There's this narrative now that says that white people are to blame for everything. And in fact, these kinds of stories is leading to that, to create that narrative kind of thing, right? Let me play a couple. We'll begin with this one here. Here's a black man in Seattle here who's kicking a 56-year-old white woman in the face as she's kneeling down on her knees planting flowers. She was kicked so hard in the face, there it is right there, that she suffered 10 fractures to her cheekbones, to her nose, to her sinuses, and to her eye sockets, right? again, just one case. And I'm not saying that they did cover this, right? They did cover this with some local media.
Very
but
small.
It's not at all at the level of this Elmo thing, no. Right?
And they'll call this an incident.
Oh, this is not, they not don't call it a racial
attack or a hate crime
absolutely
or anything.
Not. No, absolutely
it's just
not.
a little incident. Right?
Here, and I just did a quick search, right? A man kicks woman in the face. And it's like, just to compare it to the other, right? They're just the slew of like full coverage. Google has a special, like its own URL page just to this issue over Sesame Place and racism, right? It just goes on and on and on. It's just like, you know, hundreds of stories, right? And this other one here, had I think three or maybe four, right? It's Seattle Times had two versions of that. Newsweek actually had it. Wow, look at that. Here's Tacoma News, right? So that's Seattle, Tacoma, that's Fox 13, Seattle. That's like local news. It's just local. It's essentially just local news, right? But of course, there's other examples, right? Here's just let's just play a couple of these, and you can get a feel. Here's a random white girl in the UK, for example.
No, but get off the phone. That's what I'm saying. No, don't piss me off. I'm not on it. Strip my underwear. Don't mess with my girl's underwear. Shush! She's my friend. She's not. I don't think that's what I'm saying.
See that?
No.
Say so.
No.
Say so. That's not wrong.
And they're attacking
just for
the white
no
girl,
reason.
Right?
Just attack the blonde girl.
But you know, not her lived experiences. Here's another one.
What's up, bitch?
Not her being in her white skin.
Donkey killer nigga. What's up, bitch? You wanna make me know? What's up, bitch?
I'm just wanna help.
Get the fuck out of here.
This is in Chicago, where they beat up a white woman. And they also, I think, set a car on fire to burn the man inside as they're
These
chanting,
are murderers.
Fuck Trump.
Murderers.
Stonky killer, drop that crown, bitch! Drop that crown, bitch! Stonky killer, nigga!
Here's Trump supporters attacked in California by BLM, BLM supporters.
Holding their can't breathe signs, like that dude literally can't breathe right now.
Yep, there we go. I think looks like a Hispanic guy here. Here's some other ones, random, right?
On surveillance video just released by the 7-Eleven store on North Milwaukee Avenue. The woman says she was entering the convenience store at about 10:20 Monday morning. A man she had never met swung at her on his way out, giving her a broken nose. She had reconstructive surgery this morning.
Just random. Just random. Here's another one.
And you know it's because they're white.
It's a vicious, out-of-nowhere attack of the manager at the UPS store. And it gets worse. During the unprovoked pummeling of the manager, the raging customer pulls a gun, and the beating
of impulse
continues.
Control there.
Yeah, big impulse control.
Here, hit me with a gun a couple of times.
Hours after the afternoon crime, the victim spoke to 7 News.
I was thinking I was going
to
get shot.
Okay. Anyway, here's another one. We'll move on quickly through something. We can be here all day. But I'm just saying, these are, yes, they are covered. Yes, some of them are local news and stuff like that. But there's no narrative building up that this is some major problem.
Our lived
problem.
Experiences,
yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, what we deal with as white people when we face racism and racist attacks every day.
Here's he being attacked by a black guy who's holding a hammer. This looks like, is it some voting booth or something? What is that? The computer is behind him there. I'm not sure. Anyway, he's attacked. New York City. That's where this is taken. But you know, there's no major like we got to deal with this problem right out of control. Look at this, absolutely insane. He's all beaten, bloodied here, right? No, let's talk about Rosita at Sesame Street, right? Here's another one. Little white girl being bullied.
Wasn't happy with the video, obviously, disgusted with it.
Sean Peterson didn't know his 3-year-old daughter, Mackenzie, was the toddler bullied in this video until the father of the kids involved came over to apologize.
Yeah, there you go, right? Here's another one now. Forget what this is. White guy punched randomly in the store
back.
For no reason.
It's just because he was moving the camera, but on that other angle, we could see it. Yeah.
Okay.
Just attacked, right?
Yep.
Here's another one. Black guy punching a white girl.
Said he saw the horrific
act. Never relax.
The images recorded on his home security system showing a man following the young girl when things suddenly become violent.
And I think he chased her down, just tried to make small talk, and obviously she was minding her own business, and she just didn't want to engage. But you can see...
It's never about race, though, in these
news. No, of course, then it's never about race.
It's never an anti-white attack. I think we covered the first time that was last week. It was in New York. Some older lady was attacked, a white lady on a bus. And the NYPD said they were investigating an anti-white hate crime. No.
This one.
Was the only time I heard. No.
This is in New York City.
No, that's
too.
Not it. There was no footage of that.
I see. That's right. I remember now. That's right.
Get up now. He's got his mask on.
Yeah, you know? He's safe. But so that's never about race, right? Here's a couple of other ones, right?
I just want to know how we can mobilize and as a community.
Neighbors are incensed after a brutal carjacking death in Mid-City. A woman is dead tonight after the NOPD says she was dragged for nearly a whole block in a horrific carjacking.
Remember this
afternoon.
One?
And
police
just released this video of four suspects wanted in connection with the fatal carjacking. Police ask anyone with information or anyone who can identify these people who are responsible to call Crime Stoppers. They say it all started in the 300 block of North
Scott
Street.
And by the way, let me lower that one. Her arm... She lost her arm, right, as they took her car and drove so fast, she was hanging outside of it. Somehow, this white woman ended up being naked. I don't have any idea how that happened. Her clothes were ripped off and her...
Girl, might as well rape her while
eventually,
we're doing
this. Her arm, those three black women, right? Eventually, her arm fell off or like disjointed.
Oh
so she lost her arm, right?
It's just...
And in this clip, they're talking about that. But this is not, you know... Like,
this is not even human
This is not
behavior.
Lived experience. Here's another one. It resulted, I think, in violence. Listen to this
really
one.
Really scary part is absolutely no fear. Like, the look in their eyes is very matter of fact. A lot of anger.
Dave Savoy speaking with us over the phone tonight. He's the owner of the Silvertone Bar and Grill and the man on the left side of this new video. He says last month, a group of kids came in demanding alcohol. When he told them to leave, they started yelling at patrons and him.
It was really hard to get them out. It was so much profanity and so much crap and harassment. The one little girl even tried to like swing at me when I wouldn't let her back down into the restaurant to go like after my customers.
A couple minutes later, he gets them outside. That's when off camera, he says one of the girls comes at him with a knife. He retreated, but outside, the juveniles broke nearly all of
juveniles,
the front facade to his business.
Youths and juveniles.
They smashed the windows with whatever they...
Anyway, you get the idea. So I mean, that's just a slice, right? We could be here all day.
It's
I could search
recent.
For these clips and stuff. But I'm saying there's no wider discussion that this is like a problematic. This is a what are they up to? Why is there so much violence, right? What's with the crime statistics? We got to investigate this. No, instead it's always like it's white supremacy. That's the big problem, right? It's some rando incidents that look, this is the proof that we're living in a white supremacist culture. And we're steeped in this, in a white hatred of all the other races out there. And in fact, it gets worse, right? Because we're going to talk about the whole replacement circus next, right? That we shouldn't even be allowed to talk not only how we're being treated and the violence and you know organized like hatred against us from the media's point of view, from the culture, from Hollywood's point of view. We shouldn't even be allowed to see ourselves as victims as we're being replaced in our own countries, essentially.
No,
right?
And just beat up and attacked. Lycan Warrior says, grown men beating up women out of the blue. So stunning and brave. The new standard for masculinity these days. Sarcasm.
Yeah.
JP, imagine going to court and crying that they didn't like me, so now they owe me millions of dollars. Yes, in reference to this. Now, I mean, now put all that in perspective with this right there that you see.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they need therapy and they need to sue for millions of dollars and oh, the racism because this fuzzy thing didn't touch their hand. It's just amazing.
I mean, that is, you just look back at some of the shows I've done recently covering just the attacks on Swedish people in Sweden by usually Arabs, Muslims, Middle Easterners, right? In some cases, it's sub-Saharan Africans too, but it's like, I mean, just organized hatred. And even our politicians, our media despise us. They hate us. They blame us for everything. And it's creating this environment and this climate. Mm-hmm. And we are not even allowed to talk about it.
No, it's open season on white people.
Yes, it is. Absolutely, right? So the next one we're going to cover here, you know, bleeds into itself here, right? Or it's an extension to this wider problem of the anti-white, you know, era, essentially, that we live in. Chuck Schumer went off here. Yesterday or 2 days ago on Tucker Carlson because he mentions the Great Replacement. I'm not sure why they put theory in here, Revolver News, because it's not a theory. Of course, it's absolutely right. It's happening. We've proved it over and over. It keeps happening. Anyway, listen to what he said here.
Last night, Fox News host Tucker Carlson began his primetime show with another deranged rant on the conspiracy theory known as the Great Replacement. This racist theory, which asserts that
wrong?
A conspiracy exists to replace white Americans with immigrants and people of color.
It's literally
motivated
happening.
A white supremacist.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. And we proved
before
it many times.
Before our eyes, and you people admit it all the time, how it's a great thing. We should celebrate it.
That's right.
To gun down 10 black Americans at a grocery store.
Oh, that's right. Let me back up that. So this is the framing and the narrative here is usually, well, you see, because a bad guy who did something bad, he shot people or murdered someone, because he said something, you can't also say that thing. Then you have to change your position and you have to immediately take an opposing view to that. Otherwise, you're just as bad, right? Listen to that again here.
Premises to gun down 10 black Americans at a grocery store in my home state of New York, in Buffalo, just over 2 months ago. Here's what Mr. Carlson said last night, among many deranged things. These are his words. Quote, sometimes around 1965, our leaders stopped trying to make the United States a hospitable place for American citizens, their constituents, to have their own families. They just imported new people. That's literally what happened.
Yes.
Can you believe someone said that on a national network?
That's true.
Refuted them, buddy.
I'm waiting for that. They never do. They just say, oh my God, I can't believe you're saying this. This isn't real. But then they never prove it otherwise.
The Hart-Celler Act, right? 1965, they brought people in. They said, no, it's okay. Don't worry. It's not going to change anything. And of course, it changed everything. Complete lie. Can you believe they lied?
Work does nothing about it. There is only one way to describe what Mr. Carlson is doing. He is stoking racial resentment among his viewers.
Oh, but they're not.
It's deranged.
See, so we
things
can't,
they talk we, about aren't.
We can't even talk about how we are actually under attack, right? How they're trying to genocide us, how they're trying to replace us. We should not even be allowed to say it on media. And now they're very upset because now one of the bigger cable news shows is actually talking about that. Finally, they're recognizing the reality, the truth of it. No, that then the. I think they argued that the Department of Homeland Security needs to come in and ban Fox News from talking about these kinds of things.
This is how insane and desperate they are.
Absolutely.
That
right?
They would go to these extents if it's not, it's something that's not even true.
Mm-hmm.
Dangerous. It's racist. Not long ago, views like replacement theory were only found in the darkest places and disturbed minds. Now someone as prominent as Carlson is spreading
literally
night after night.
Gay lefty French guy who first started using that. So, yeah.
Well, and the point I'll keep making here as we go into the next segment in a bit with the fascist scholar here is, well, the reason why they're bringing up is because it's happening. That's really how simple this is. It's not some.
And they know it.
They're
and they
questioning,
know.
Like, how does
they
this,
know.
How does this catch on? Why do people believe? Well, because this is their lived experiences. And as the media and people like this continue to deny it, the more credibility you lose, right? It's great.
To an audience that often tops 3 million viewers. And it's not an isolated incident. According to one measure by the New York Times, Mr. Carlson has spewed rhetoric that echoes replacement theory at least 400 times on his show since 2016. 400
Good.
Times. This Good. Is not a one-off, what he just did last night. The more that MAGA radicals like
so
Carlson
what?
Spread replacement theory, it is not out of question that racially motivated violence will further ignite the country.
But they, the other side, have never created any racial animosity.
They never stoke racial hate towards white people. Ever. Not in entertainment, in education, in media. That's all we see all day long. And just the few clips we showed you is just a few clips of like recent attacks that we've found, you know.
You know, the pro CRT crowd who is like upset that like the conservatives, kind of mainstream conservatives, is now slightly talking about CRT, right? And of course, they're doing it kind of for the, not for the, well, they're kind of doing it for the wrong reasons. And their so-called solution to it is not that. But regardless, at least they're talking about it. And they always say this, well, oh, they don't want us to be able to teach accurate history. That's always what it is. Yeah, just saying how anti-white, like guilt-rid children into like they should feel guilty for being white and they feel bad about themselves. That's not a problem. That's just teaching accurate history. That's it's fine, right? No consequences for them, but anybody who brings up their plans and what they're doing, outrageous.
We should be ashamed that they're enabling these racist views and giving them an enormous platform on their network. It's dangerous and un-American for one of the biggest news networks in the world to amplify conspiracy theories that are eerily similar to those cited by the Buffalo shooter.
Does he want the government to do something about it? Is that why he's doing this whole thing?
Absolutely, that's what I'm saying.
In and shut it down.
Yes, they want the state, the DHS, anything, the FBI to come in and just say, this is,
you
know.
This prick, he would love just to have Tucker Carlson hauled off and thrown in a gulag. He'd be like, yep.
I mean, remember, CDC has declared racism a public health crisis, yeah. Right? Soon enough, there would be
we have to quarantine
anti-white
you by force.
Lockdowns or like racist lockdowns. Or something. We got to, until we can figure out what's going on, we have to ban all white people from everything.
To stop spreading replacement theory or else risk seeing more tragedies like the one we saw in Buffalo last month.
There you go. All right. So there's
it's never a tragedy when bad things are done to us, right? No. In the name of their leftist religion. It never works that way. It's only the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So let me just take a couple of these here on Odyssey real quick. Let me see if I can get them to load on this comp. Let me see here. Jacqueline, 96. My computer was working normal until I went onto Odyssey. It started lagging, then restarted itself to install Windows. Now I can't access it. Some issue there. Sorry for having that. Rowdy Dude says, hey, Red Ice, a couple million of dollars soothes the trauma of racism. There you go. Exactly. Keep up the great work and get a membership, everyone. Thank you. Appreciate that. Telling the truth. I like that. Donate to the channel and didn't show up in the chat. My mistake. Guess I will have to donate again. What happened? Did I miss someone? Or anyway, thank you. Telling the truth. Appreciate that. All right, so the next thing we're going to look
Hold
at
on.
Here.
Archie yes. says, Goodall's preference for the apes might have merit. Chris Langan suggested bringing in a group of Africans that belong to Coco's tribe, since Coco had an estimated IQ of 95. It is higher than the average in Ilhan Omar's tribe.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, I'm actually I'm talking with Chris Lanigan's wife, trying to get him on. It takes like him 2 years to book in a show. So anyway, I started the process. So check back in 2024 and we'll see what happens. All right, anyway, he's a really smart guy, right? And he actually, obviously, as anyone who actually has a brain can figure out that this replacement stuff is objectively, absolutely 100% happening. In fact, they're bragging about it, right? And so the next clip here, do you have another one? You caught up? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other one I'm going to show you here is the Jason Stanley. I think is it Jason Stanley? Yes, Jason Stanley. That's right. Goes on the Young Turks. It's on a show on the Young Turks channel there called The Damage Report. White replacement theory is fascism's new name. Let's just let's begin here. This is hilarious.
That's just dumb.
And he is he's a star. This guy. Did I not import that? Let me see here, guys. Sorry. Did I not bring that in?
Just looking at him right away, I can see why he's so afraid of fascist men.
Yeah, he's like a. This is like kind of the guy. Oh, here it is. Scary truth about fascism. Okay. Or is that the whole one? Let me see here. Yes, it is. Dang it. What happened to my... Let me bring this in, guys. I should have it here. Yes, there it is. There it is. Okay, good. Jason Stanley, let's begin listen to this. And we'll pause a little bit in between, but this is gold here. Here we go.
Fascism survives on a politics of fear. And what is the fear of? The fear is very often characteristically in the case of the classic fascist movements of mid-century Europe and Germany, Nazi Germany, of replacement. Of replacement of the people, the ethnic population by others, usually by
the ethnic population,
I think the fascism. I think any people would be concerned about that anywhere in the world. Like, pick a country. Like, let's pick Israel, for instance.
Of course, you're afraid.
Do you think Jews would be worried about being replaced by a bunch of Muslims in Israel? Like, of course, anybody, anywhere that's alive.
It's reasonable, logical, and perfectly understandable if you're afraid losing your extended family, your racial group. This is not a wedding. Okay, what are you talking about?
Non-whites. So Mussolini in 1934 gave a speech on is the white race in danger? Hitler, this was...
They were dealing with different things in that time.
That didn't turn out to be prophetic at all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was totally wrong. By the way, I just want to say, when I think of fascism, I think the opposite of fear. I think of, like, strength and power, right? It's why these lefties, they're always terrified of these potential fascists, because they are the fearful and weak ones, because these fascists are the ones who call them out, who point out these facts, and these weak people, they're terrified of these facts, and they're terrified to debate, right?
Repeated theme, the idea that both that Jews were bringing in immigrants to replace the Germans as a kind of tactic, and that Jews themselves were intermingling with good Aryan women to produce, to ruin the Germans. And our own fascist movement.
I have a little segment on that, but let's play it a little bit longer. Yeah. I want to show some things on that, but let's play. We keep these arguments he's making in mind, and we'll go through this.
The Ku Klux Klan, which is generally called the first functionally fascist organization, say by Robert.
Yes, the Klan. Let's go there. That's that's always Robert Paxton. Yeah, okay.
Paxton.
Totally a sensible scholar of fascism.
Placement was very central to their ideology. The idea of the second Klan, for instance, was that Jews were bringing in, were urging black people to overthrow the white race, and were also bringing in immigrants.
Well,
we're also bringing in immigrants. Should we? All right.
Where is the lie?
All right. So, okay. Number one, Stanley Levinson, right? He wrote all of MLK's speeches, right? A businessman and a lawyer, lifelong activist in progressive causes, close friend of Martin Luther King Jr., drafted Martin King Jr.'s iconic I Have a Dream speech. My skills were acquired not only in a cloistered academic environment, but also in a commercial jungle, one of the things he said. And of course, the Jewish, specifically the Reformed, Reformed Judaism kind of branch, if you will, was of course heavily involved in Martin Luther King. And of course, his agenda was communist. They actually
used nothing to do about peace between the races. I mean, that's a bunch of bullshit. I can't believe people still believe that.
In fact, I mean, there's even the people who protested it at the time even knew it. Check out some of these signs here. Stop race mixing. It's communism.
They knew where it was going.
It's communism. And then if you actually...
Here we are today.
If you actually look at NPR, they admit this. How communism brought racial equality to the South, right? And then it's like, well, it stands to reason that we should be worried about this, because now you're merging racial hatred with communistic ideas. And of course, what's the legacy of communism? Well, it's about 100 million people dead, right? It stands to reason that our worry is, of course, justified. But they view it, of course, we've done the souffle meme, a couple of things. The way they view it is just, well, it failed a couple of times, but you got to just
keep trying.
You know, I burned the souffle again. You know, the kind of thing, right? So that's number one. And then of course we have, I think he mentions Hayek a bit later. So let's talk about that. This one point to what he said.
To undermine white Christianity so that ultimately Jews could take over. That's why in Charlottesville they chanted, "Jews will not replace us." They didn't mean literally that Jews were going to be the replacers. They meant rather that Jews were behind the replacement of the white race. And what we've seen across the world since Anders Breivik's massacre of over 70 people in Norway, and through to the
Breivik shot majority white people, by the way. But whatever, you know, I think there were some like immigrants part of the Democratic Socialist group that he targeted there, but anyway, let's keep going.
Christchurch killings in New Zealand is manifesto after manifesto appeal to great replacement theory and the danger of replacing the white population to justify mass murder.
So
the reason why they're talking about it is, of course, again, because it's happening. It doesn't matter if someone who's a murderous lunatic mentions it or someone who's reasonable and want to stop it, whether it's politically or by information. Maybe you should stop replacing us. How about that? That's a noble idea, right? Maybe you should stop replacing us. Maybe there were
consequences to the lived experiences,
right? There's backlash for doing these policies. Go ahead, Lon.
And listen to the lived experiences of white people who are experiencing the anti-white hatred. No, we just push that under the rug like it doesn't even exist. Tell them to shut up and go away.
Of course, from the United Nations, right? Replacement migration, open policy, right? They have this is a solution to an aging and declining population. You can look at the white population in the U.S. Over decades, rather. And you see, of course, that there is a great loss of the white demographic group, right? So at the same time as it's a wacky, crazy conspiracy theory, it's also, of course, confirmed over and over again in the mainstream press, right? United States on its way of becoming a non-white majority by 2045. Less than half of U.S. children under 15 are white, census show. There are some other ones here. The nation is diversifying even faster than predicted, according to new census data. The U.S. will become minority white in 2045, census projects. A couple of other ones here. And I have an overlay in the way, so let me make it a little smaller. The U.S. white majority will soon disappear forever. White extinction conspiracy theory is bonkers, the New York Times, while they admit at the same time that immigration, intermarriage, and falling birth rates are leading towards a time when countries like the United States, they mean European countries, will no longer be majority white. So having fear of replacement is white power, and it's not happening. But then if you think it's happening, then you're crazy. But also it's happening, and it's a good thing. It's a racist, you know, crazy racist doctrine. Europeans struggle with the idea of replacement migration. This one we showed a couple of times. The last days of a white world. You get the point. We've shown these over and over
again. Yeah, and of course I did the video, The Truth About the Great Replacement, where we put in a lot of clips from politicians themselves and people in positions of power talking about this.
Yeah, so back to Stanley here.
2 years ago, talking about replacing the white population with more docile voters, that would have been relegated to Stormfront or some extremist forum just a few years ago, right?
And again, that's because no one was willing to touch on those controversial areas. But the longer that this goes on, the more obvious, visible, and apparent
self-evident
it is to people.
It is, and people are talking about it. And
of course,
we know. I mean, Democrats have admitted so many times, like they want the black vote, the Hispanic vote, basically all the non-whites that are coming into the country vote Democrat, and they know this.
And then, of course, it's kind of the only spin by the Tuckers, though, is that
it's just about
the votes. And I think, no, it's actually because they want to get rid of white people. Yeah. It's not just because of the political system. At the end of the day, they don't care.
And
about
they know,
that,
though, you know? That they can use, you know, leftist policy also in the future to clamp down on us in a real hard way.
Oh,
ultimately,
absolutely.
That is what their goal is.
Look at South Africa, right? I just did the past show I did on Prince Harry. Harry standing and swooning over Nelson Mandela in South Africa in this UN speech that he did, right? This is the anti-white machine and the mechanism that's moving now throughout the halls of power. And eventually, if we let it get to that point, I don't think we're going to let it get to that point, right? Am I right?
Nope. Not going to let it
But
happen.
If it happens, then they're wishing that this will happen. It will turn violently against us. And in fact, they even have the spin that due to the fact that we are counteracting this, we are going to become violent. Like, you're already violent towards us by
it's
doing
like,
this.
It's you know just I mean? Like South Africa. It's amazing.
Yep.
Dog Whistler says, you should play the Biden clip where he talked about, we've played this many times, preferable immigration, where he says whites will be an absolute minority in the U.S. of America, and it will be a great thing. Yes,
definitely.
Yeah,
cue that up, and I'll play it after the Stanley clip.
And yep. Bill Biz, thank you. Says the politics of fear and manufactured crisis is the norm of the left. Yes.
Yeah, and that's the point I made here. Everything that Jason Stanley and so many other political leaders now are espousing is fear. It's fear of fascism. It's fear of white people fighting. But they're finding out. They're talking about things which they shouldn't be allowed to talk about. And it's the climate change. And oh, gas is going to be cut off. And we have to replace the energy system. We're all going to die. That, like, they're literally driving politics with fear while they're blaming us for being the fear mongers.
That's right. That's how they do it. Dog Whistler says, what was the line Biden said? That's a source of our strength. Yes. Us white people becoming a minority in our countries is a source of our strength.
Absolutely. So, yep. So. I'll cue it up and we'll play it in a little bit here. But more here from these bozos here.
Just a few years ago, it is shocking and sort of unparalleled, the normalization of this rhetoric in a mainstream political party like the Republicans. We scholars of rhetoric and propaganda don't know what to make of it. What do you do?
Scholars
of propaganda.
Oh, golly, you're not a very good scholar, are you, if you can't see the forest through the trees?
Like, you don't know what to make of it? You don't know what's happening in the world? You're not seeing any of this?
Like, I think some of these people are just playing dumb.
Of course. They are trying to gaslight. Here's actually gaslighting. You know, Elmo not waving at you, that's not an existential threat. Replacing your people and your population, ruining your country, actually is. And what actually is happening to us, they're trying to gaslight us into thinking it's not going to happen. Why is that the strategy? They're hoping that they can just lie and deceit and fool and trick everybody into thinking this is not happening until it's too late for us. That's really the approach here. More.
When you have a conspiracy theory that has justified in the last decade numerous mass slaughters. Dylann Roof in Charleston, as I said, Breivik.
That's still nothing compared to black on white crime in America. No, still nothing to the military and how many they kill.
You do have mass shootings. We have that website, like massshooters.info, I think it is, right? That actually shows that the majority of mass shooters are not white, although that's what they're trying to pretend.
That's right.
Although, admittedly, right, there are fewer, I guess, like, you know, and I'm using their terminology here and their the way they present this. There's fewer. A fewer set of like white extremists or whatever that are shooting people, and they're managing to shoot more people. But if you on average, like, you know, look at the numbers, then it's more white people that are targeted by violence and killed. Then you can bring in rapes into it. You can bring in humiliation crime, like I have in Sweden, for example, into this whole statistical thing, which they don't do.
Yeah.
Then, of course, it would be dwarfing any of these so-called mass shooters, right? And, of course, in some cases, some of these kids, they're groomed by the feds, right? They're led around their nose. They're manipulated. They're sting operations. Like, there's another, we don't even have to go there, but there's another layer to it than that, right? But the point is, this is actually happening, and these kids are so desperate and so, they've come to the point where they feel they have no other recourse than to lash out in violence and kill random black people because no one is listening to them.
No, and right? they've also been emotionally and mentally abused by the whole anti-white establishment.
Absolutely. And so, you know, they're being blamed for it. But my point is back, well, maybe you should stop replacing us. That if you're worried about like a backlash, well, stop doing do stupid shit. Find out. Or what's the saying? You know, that's kind of what it is here. Let's keep
people
going.
In a mosque in New Zealand using this justification. And historically was at the center of some of the worst movements of right-wing authoritarian movements. The justification for their terrible internal violence. What happens when it becomes normalized by a mainstream political party?
But it's anti-white violence is normalized by the mainstream press right now,
all the
main
time.
Culture, right?
Everything.
That's what's so funny. It's like
taught in schools.
See, you never focus on a positive thing, right? He thinks that's positive. If he even, I think he thinks about it, to be honest, because he's a scholar on these things. But for the most part, like, if there's something that you are a proponent of, you're not going to stop at every turn and say, look, isn't that great that that's going on? Isn't it fantastic that we keep replacing them? No, their focus is almost going to be what they're not succeeding with. And that's going to be a problem for them, right? That's why they don't talk about that stuff and focus on it.
I don't know, but it's not good. The actual justification of the Tree of Life mass murder of my fellow Jewish people was done by direct appeal
not
to
his
great
fellow
replacement
white people
theory.
I guess not.
So,
who has a dog
in the fight, huh?
No dog in this fight.
I see.
Jason Stanley.
Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. So the actual justification of the Tree of Life mass murder of my fellow Jewish people was done by direct appeal to great replacement theory, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. So the killer went into the Tree of Life synagogue and murdered so many Jewish people on the grounds that he believed the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society was bringing in immigrants.
All right, so here's Bari Weiss, which of course is now kind of a the voice of reason on the right. Listen to what she says about Hayez.
Well, that's the thing. The Jewish connection to the refugee is not a conspiracy. That's something that we're very, very proud of. The organization that Robert Bowers was constantly calling out is an organization called Hayez, which brought people, including Sergey Brin, to this country. It started in the 1880s to bring Jews who were fleeing the pogroms of Eastern Europe. Now they help Jews and non-Jews all over the world fleeing persecution. I met a man in Arizona on Sunday, a Jew from Cairo, who was helped out of Egypt following the 1967 war. This synagogue exemplified those values. It participated in something called Refugee Shabbat the previous Saturday. It was one of the participating synagogues nationally. And the concept, you know, as in all Jewish synagogues that reflect the most sacred of Jewish values, is the value of Hachnasat Orchim, of welcoming the stranger, and especially of welcoming the weakest in our community.
Well, we didn't ask you to do that.
There's no weaker category in our society than the refugee.
That's why Israel have such a strong immigration policy. No.
They just have DNA tests to get in.
We're let them into your country.
Yeah, exactly. that's just so hypocritical. All of this.
So basically, this Jewish voice of reason here, Bari Weiss, confirms, in fact, that Hayez do in fact bring in migrants. But of course, Stanley will ignore that and pretend. If you just mention it and say that they're fascists, those who are talking about this, then that's it's disqualified on its own merit.
Was behind immigrants. When you hear Tucker Carlson or others talk about globalists bringing in immigrants, that is a dog whistle to anti-Semites. People who aren't anti-Semites won't hear
that.
So are
you admitting you're globalists?
I guess so. Yeah. All right. He's saying globalists is a code word.
Because we know globalists includes a lot of different groups, but I guess he's owning that one.
I guess so. Yeah. Proud owner.
Every anti-Semite will hear Jewish people are bringing in immigrants, because that is the historical center of 20th century anti-Semitism in the West.
Okay, but is it true, though? That's the question, right? Is it not whether it's offensive or something? Is it true? Is it actually happening or not?
It's also, though, like in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, they were dealing with a different thing. They weren't dealing with like full-on population replacement, right? It was a whole other thing. Mm-hmm. But they did forewarn about that, right? Because they did see where those trends were going to be going, you know, if communists won and leftists had their way.
Yeah.
So they were correct in that.
Yeah.
What is it that changed and changed so quickly that this is now not just beginning to seep into like some sort of like radical right-wing YouTube channel, but it jumped immediately. Tucker Carlson has the largest audience on cable news.
It took years for that to happen, though.
It did, thanks to the pressure by people like us and so many others out there that continue to
mainstream things. Yes. It always starts in, you know, underground, alt media, indie media, before it finally goes, you know, mainstream. I mean, even the word anti-white, remember? Mm-hmm. People are like, oh my God, you can't use that word.
No,
and now
offensive.
It's like, you see normies using it.
Yeah. We're not winning because they're replacing us, but the pendulum is slowly beginning, and they're
people
freaking
have to know
out.
What's happening. They have to know what's going on.
Absolutely.
First.
Step one, if you want to fix a problem, if you don't even know or recognize a problem,
identify the problem.
Happen. Absolutely. Diagnose the issue and get to work on fixing it.
It's his go-to almost every night you hear it. Is this a consequence of Trump? Are they both consequences of something? Is this
was it Trump that
still
did this?
Trump.
It's like, no, you're replacing us. That's why people are talking about it. It's really that simple, right? But they're like, they will not recognize that. They refuse to say that it's actually happening. At least in this setting, when it's something, you know, bad that they're talking about it.
Can we chalk this up to, well, once QAnon has become normalized, literally
it's QAnon. There we go. God.
Conspiracy theory can be so crazy that you can't talk about it openly.
John Iadarola is such a, man, such a clown.
We had racial fascism, our own native racial fascism, we had Jim Crow laws, we had a clear, explicit demand.
That wasn't fascism.
To keep
that was
America.
Just segregation, buddy. We didn't have fascism in America. It never existed in America. Never had a fascist system in America.
A majority white. And so this is our home turf. And we thought the civil rights movement and similar movements to address this past would have put it in the past. But it's not in the past. And when we look at this past, it's a past that affects European fascism. It's a past that was deeply anti-democratic. Elections.
Well, good then. Because obviously democracy has screwed everyone over.
Were decided by white, but with a radical voter suppression of black populations. So I think it's a signal that
actually blacks did better during the segregation era. You know, there's been documentaries about this too. I mean, blacks did better when they were in their own societies before this whole.
Yeah, look, now there's definitely more problems, but you know, I don't know.
They were separated, and before all the like communist infiltration, it was a better time even for them.
And then like rap music and gang war and like glorifying,
which his people really helped produce all that stuff.
Yeah, as I said, we're going to swing over again to show this image real quick there, but let's keep going here because it's a fascinating turn of adventure.
Turning to this past, and we're also but the level of mainstreaming and normalizing, I think, that the mass media brings
from focusing on critical race theory to more of this gender theory and a gigantic focus on the trans community, but the LGBTQ community as well.
Yeah, so they don't like this, right? Here's they pivot. Can we somehow connect that this politics of fear and fascism also bleeds into things like CRT and the anti-LGBTQP activism that conservatives are doing now? That's the framing here.
Is this sort of just a new form of replacement that in the past they'd replace you with migrants, but now they're replacing you with your kids with a trans version of your kids, or that they're stripping away something not racially about you, but something core in terms of your masculinity? Is that designed to appeal to reality? The same?
Yeah, is that are they worried about?
Let's see, cutting dicks off and kids. Like, I just heard a story the other day. Someone was telling me about a relative they knew, a 16-year-old who was once beautiful, who cut her boobs off and thinks that she's a guy, and now she's dating a guy. Now after all that, she's dating a guy, is on puberty blockers, removed her breasts, and now she thinks she's in a gay man relationship.
It's
beautiful and wonderful to have this for children. It's so amazing. Let's celebrate it.
And his framing is like, they're afraid of us cutting off the penises of their sons and making neo-vaginas.
Yes, and giving them these sketchy, dangerous drugs for the rest of their life that will give them cancer and kill them.
They're just afraid of that.
Like, listen, do you have kids?
No. Stanley, yeah, probably.
Fears in conservatives?
So what they want to do, it's a different conspiracy theory.
He's going to speak for all the conservatives. Yeah,
absolutely.
Now.
Here it comes. Here. Now he's talking for the fascist white.
Here's what they want to do.
Here's what it's about.
Designed to appeal to similar fears. They want to appeal to threats to your children. They want to.
Yeah, because there's no threats to our children at all. There's no pedophiles out there in public schools or in organized religion or in the institutions or in the media or promoting it. There's none of it exists. It's really not happening.
See, they say they're threatening your children, and liberalism allows this. And
what threatening is you grooming. Need
them. They're
grooming your children.
It's a war
which
on our children.
Is a threat to them ultimately.
They're going after them.
Macho authoritarian response that will protect your children.
Yes.
Where are the men? They say.
Yes. You know, like, absolutely.
You know,
yes.
Because you ain't one of them, Stanley. Beta male. He's it's always this beta male tribesman that's always worried about, you know, the fascists, right? Theodore Adorno again.
Where is the men?
Noodle arms on the beach. He's worried about like the alpha male because he isn't one.
Yeah, so if you feel any emotion as we cut the penises off your sons and the breasts off your daughters,
you're a fascist.
And if you feel that you don't want to be replaced by immigrant populations and losing your country, you're just afraid. You're not afraid, are you? Like, they think this is actually going to like work as a strategy to like trick people into going along with it.
That's amazing.
They say, you know, like, you know, which is a direct appeal. The patriarchy, it's saying a real man wouldn't allow, you know, this kind of
cutting the dick off
your children to be exposed.
Let me go back a little bit there. Say it again, Lana.
I said, a real man doesn't allow his son's dick to be cut off. Yes.
Yeah, it's this, like, if I just say it like it's ridiculous on the face of it, then I've proven my point. Listen to this.
It's saying a real man wouldn't allow, you know, this kind of, that, you know, your children to be exposed to the idea that that gender is fluid or that same-sex marriage is normal.
Well, it's a little bit more than that.
Yeah, it's
Stanley.
A lot more than that.
Kind of a few more layers here. We actually begin with like severe like propaganda and like heavy subversion to like break down the psyche of like young children and teenagers. And to also to sell them transgenderism as a panacea to all the... But if you feel at all anything out of like place or you feel a little... like an outsider or something. Well, guess what? We have a fix for that, and it's to
Let's
go
consult
trans.
A gender unicorn,
That's right.
and we'll find
yep.
where you are on this bullshit scale.
And so they're trying to make you fear that people will get at your children. And
yes, absolutely. Like that's a sensible, rational,
and
instinct.
Any parent should always be worried about that.
Yeah.
Who are these adults who want to get to the mind of my child? Like that is. The most base level natural impulse as a parent.
But you see, they have to be able to continue with their subversion, and this is their tactic that they're employing to be able to, so that things will continue as usual.
So you need an authoritarian, powerful response
yes, absolutely.
Deal with them.
It's not a falsifiable theory, the idea that like that politicians are literally importing people to replace them. It is madness that we're going up against. So how do you...
Yeah, it's completely mad and insane to think that that's really happening. That's their framing.
You fight back against something like that.
That is a great question. I say stalling for an answer. How do you fight back against these classical conspiracy theories that have created a politics of fear? Well, one way is you explain what's going on. You say, look, they're trying to make you afraid.
Look at that.
Not they're explaining anything.
Last 30 time. Seconds here, right? But like, no, they're trying. Listen to how he, who's one, who's behind this of creating this fear of replacement? And not that it's actually happening. It's just a fear of it. Listen to this is an amazing turn of events here, right? More comedy gobbledygook, of course, but listen.
Explain what's going on. You say, look, they're trying to make you afraid. This is a politics of power to split the working class. So that you don't unify
against... They care about
against,
the working class, my ass.
I know, it's like,
yeah, please, like you care about white working class.
Fall back on Marxist theory, right? Karl Marx, the Jewish intellectual,
war.
Right? That's like, I know, let's turn white people against themselves by like using the working class against the, you know, the upper class or whatever, right? So that's what that's all it's about. Yes, of course.
Against essentially billionaires who are behind this?
Yeah, it's billionaires are behind creating fear about replacement.
Well, yeah, all the billionaires are supporting the replacement.
BlackRock is not doing this. Vanguard is not behind this. All the major neoliberal
all these
institutions
billionaires are liberals.
Is on your side, buddy. But they're still pretending that we're the anti-capitalist
wow.
outsiders
wow.
who are offering the real, reasonable, sensible facts.
What they really want is they want to keep the gas and oil flowing. They want to keep the taxes low.
So he wants to raise taxes and cut the oil
wow,
and the gas.
Okay, amazing.
That's going to
fix it.
Raise
while
taxes
he,
and cut off the
while
energy.
He sees like talking about the working class, mm-hmm. like
yep.
you don't give a shit about the working class.
Let's
raise their taxes and just $10 a gallon for gas.
There's a lot of money out there. It's just not in my hands. Okay, all right.
Typical tribesman with like a desk job, you know, just sitting there reading his like leftist critique books all day.
Yeah, while there's some intellectual Freudian, Marxian interpretation of why the country dwellers have lost their minds and they've gone insane.
And
right?
you know, he can't do any real man's work. It's always these kinds of guys.
Yeah.
And they're splitting the politics of fear is always done for that reason, right? It's always done to split the working class apart. So you remind people like, where's your health care? You know, what's really at stake?
Listen to this part. Less 10 seconds here.
You know, what's really at stake here for you? You have retiring parents, you have health care costs. This is what's really at stake. Fascism survives on a politics of fear.
Sorry.
And
where are we?
What is
there? We go. Sorry about that. Okay, so basically, at the end there, the monetary question. You have health care, what's happening with that? That's really not your people, not your race, not your country, not your culture, not your tradition, not your language, not your anything that anchors you to what makes you you. That's not really the concern here. The concern here is, well, we should raise taxes so we can get health care. That's what. That's really what all of this
it's
is about.
It's always health care. That's like their god in America. It's just health care. Health care what? They give you puberty blockers and clot shots? No thanks.
No thanks. That's right. And I mean, it's like, you know, you, and all the books, of course, right, on the everything that's right being written about white people, right? White shift, white privilege, investment in whiteness, white trash, seeing white kids, white like me, dying of whiteness. You see what you just a brief overview here. Like, why are they so upset? Why are they talking about this? No one is attacking you. Nothing is happening here, right? And we're to play, I think we have a little bit of time. I wanted to play a couple of clips real quick from Hollywoodism, too.
Oh, that's goody.
Just to underline a couple of these issues. Remember, going back to some of the arguments he made, right, about, like, replacement, integration, intermarriage with, like, other, you know, going into, basically, Gentile society and marrying with them and things like that. So this is a documentary called Hollywoodism. If you haven't seen it, it's based on a book called An Empire of Their Own, which
definitely
details, you know, the origin story of Hollywood, essentially. Let's listen a little bit to this.
In their own lives, the Hollywood Jews subscribed to the religion of their own making. They were the quintessential little guys who had made it to the top. They threw parties on their yachts. They dressed in tailor-made suits. They lived in the kind of houses that aristocrats were supposed to live in. And when they were not admitted to the Gentile country clubs, they rebuilt this one.
And then we exterminated the race forever.
Exactly.
to take revenge. Revenge of the nerds.
Man. Bigger and better than
That's
all
right.
the rest.
We did better than them.
So we earned it, unlike their white privilege.
And now today, of course, we've reached that no whites allowed has become an acceptable, you know.
Yep.
By doing the same thing that supposedly we
now
did to stem
right.
that was wrong, now that's right.
Hey, Goy girl.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's get married.
Are you married?
No.
Many of the moguls divorced their Jewish first wives and married Gentiles, younger, more socially acceptable women.
It wasn't about that. It's just they wanted attractive women.
The whole notion through the door. That Hollywood that pins itself on is intermarriage. The whole idea of inter-ethnic romance. Now, why do they do that? First of all, because...
He says the whole idea of Hollywood is interracial marriage. Listen.
Are you married?
No.
Many of the moguls divorced their Jewish first wives and married Gentiles. Younger, more socially acceptable women.
The whole notion that Hollywood pins itself on is intermarriage. The whole idea of inter-ethnic romance. Now, why do they do that? First of all, because love is a very democratic ideal. It knows no borders.
Of course, that's all it was about.
It was
about
all
right
no
there.
Subversion
no,
whatsoever.
No.
It was all just
it was so
love.
Natural. Yes, exactly. But just you're not against love, are you?
Oh my God.
Using one of the most, you know, beautiful human emotions to subvert us and to use our strength as
break
a
down those boundaries.
Incredible, right? Well, how subversive.
Knows not riches. It knows not tradition. It knows simply the matters of the heart.
It does actually knows tradition, but okay, sure.
In addition to that, when a Jew can marry a non-Jew, particularly part of the establishment culture, that's really a wonderful indication of how far up into society Jews have come.
Yeah, and then you become an Epstein, right? And then you just traffic a bunch of them.
That
get
is just
revenge for the country clubs.
Yep, and then they show a scene here of what is this, one of the producers there. Then is the next portion I want to show here.
Hollywood. When Jews came to America, it wasn't only Mayflower wasps who seemed to embody America to them. American blacks were quintessential Americans. I mean, that was one of the things that made America America, the presence
that's right.
of...
But what made America America was just the slavery aspect.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that makes it unique America is that. Okay, sure, Hoberman.
Of black people. And the indigenous African-American culture was of tremendous interest
now, but it's never indigenous European culture. Have you ever heard that? Indigenous European culture.
Even later, right? It wasn't even the inception of America as a country. They brought them from Africa and made them African-American, and now they call them indigenous. How about that? That's an incredible Frank Luntzian term right there.
Dancing, the popular styles, and so on.
The Hollywood Jews may have wanted to marry into white America, but when it came to music, Jewish composers looked to black America.
Why didn't they want to marry into black America
ones. Are
and
you
using
racist?
White music? What
interesting. The
heck? How in the world did that happen? I'm just going to skip forward this song here because they're using this. This is an incredible clip here because remember how Jason Stanley mentioned how, well, one of the conspiracy theories is how we're using other races kind of against white society
yes.
and against Western civilization. Well, listen to the next comment here.
Jews served as messengers, in essence, of black culture. They
culture.
Took it, they consumed it, they integrated it into their own cultural repertoire, and then introduced it to white America that was essentially willing to listen to Jews and to partake of what Jews had to offer in a way that they never would from blacks.
So, but I thought the whites were against Jews
yeah.
and they were anti-Semitic. Why would they take part of that? And listen to, again, the integration happened then.
Or is
she
it because it was through Hollywood, right? Through Hollywood, they were able to, you know, put some of these things out onto the white population.
The white population in America at the time thought that Hollywood was like that was us doing that. That was we, our culture, our. But what they explain, of course, early in this documentary is that they invented a shadow version of America that didn't really exist.
Yeah.
It's one of the lines that stands out from the documentary.
And they see themselves as separate from white people.
Obviously, yes, of course. And that it was about very much about like breaking down the original view of it, creating a new shadow version. And then they're saying basically America and Americans became associated with wanting to be like or emulate or like reproduce, in a sense,
a
the
Jewish
shadow version
of America.
Yeah, a fake one that didn't really exist, right?
First on Broadway and later in the Hollywood musical, this was the way Jewish music often sounded.
And of course, that's evolved today. Now, of course, if you listen to a lot of the rap and hip-hop music, a lot of the same kind of relationships exists, of course. But no one's talking about that. Let's skip forward here a little bit.
In writing lyrics, they turned to their Jewish immigrant concerns of people needing to belong somewhere, needing some kind of redemption through America. The Jews took these themes, but instead of putting them to Jewish music, they borrowed black forms that they saw as authentically American. In a sense, they wrote music in blackface.
So they can do that. That's okay, right?
From the beginning, though they indulged in stereotypes, the Hollywood moguls took a different view of African Americans than that of the pre-Jewish filmmakers. Birth of a Nation had played on the white fear of the mixing of the races. In dramatic contrast,
so many people talk about Birth of a Nation, but they haven't actually watched it. It was before they talked in films, right? So it was like there was no talking, right? And it's a 3-hour film. I've watched it before. He keeps saying they play on the fears and stuff. It was showing during the Reconstruction era, like total lawlessness and what was going on at that time. It was a very violent, awful period in the South. Okay, it's not playing on fears. It was actual things that were going on then. But they say this is the most racist film ever. The most racist part, you go look in there, you have to wait like a while to find it. And it alludes to the fact of this black guy who rapes a white woman and it runs away. And then they're like chasing him down, trying to find this black guy who raped this white woman. But that did happen during the Reconstruction era. It was total lawlessness. There was rape and criminality and all kinds of awful things that were going on. And for some reason, they just think it was just a big kumbaya fest in that time, right? It was a great, wonderful time period for the South. No, it wasn't. It was hell.
Yeah. Listen to this coming up here about the – here's that part about the outsider again. And again, that shadow version that somehow America now became associated with a completely different mentality and an idea. Listen to this.
On what charges are you holding?
You heard what I said. Get in that car.
One of the things that made American films so exportable is that anyone anywhere could identify with so many of the themes of American movies, one of which was the idea of the outsider, which was a Jewish theme. Jews being outsiders, making films about outsiders. You see this even in monster pictures. I mean, King Kong. There is a film about, you know, an outsider. And yet, it's the monster, if you want to call King Kong that, with whom the audience sympathizes.
I never looked at this movie the same again after watching this documentary.
Yeah.
And how they're admitting here of like the strong Jewish themes in a lot of these mm-hmm. movies with the outsider theme, now I just always think about.
It's a monster, but somehow you seek sympathy for the monster,
yeah.
or somehow it's in disguise, like here, right? But really on the inside, I'm transformed, I'm turning into something that looks familiar.
He was an outsider. He resembled an elf. Not surprisingly, Universal's films often championed marginal beings who were persecuted like the Jews of Europe.
Now I know I don't like any of these films. There's some subversive thing behind
it. It's all very subversive, right? It goes on from that. We don't have to play more of that now, but it goes very interesting. Check it out if you haven't seen it. Hollywoodism, an empire of their own. Find it on YouTube for now. Right now they keep deleting some of these, right? But very interesting. And so much we could talk about here, but basically I want to go back to the point of the fear again, that there, you know, all of this is fear, and then at the same time we're able to find very easily and just through one show here present evidence that like all the supposed fears that Jason Stanley presented are factual. It's actually happening. There's a reason why people are concerned about it. It's legitimate, it's reasonable, it's logical, and if it would happen to them and their people, They would even do more than we do. They would invest all the money that would invest in this, and like to overturn this. And
they already have that, even though there is no threat against them.
No, I mean they control the majority of things right now. But it's beginning to change, and that's what they're panicking about. That's what I said before. It's like this. It's slow. That pendulum is slowly. It's not even that. It's slowing down right now. Slowly. It hasn't even begun swinging in the opposite direction. Right. But at some point it is, and at that point they're going to lose the grip and lose control, and that's what they fear, and they should fear that they are losing the narrative. They have to censor.
Because it's
to
a lie. Because their narrative outlaw. Is a lie. It's not based in reality.
Yes. They have to delegitimize. They have to criminalize even things to talk about. They're seeking the power of the institutions and everything out there, politics, the legal system, to come down on people just talking about these things. That's how desperate they are. And that's how, you know, how badly, at least when it comes to the point of view of the narrative, that they're losing, that despite the fact that they control everything, they still cannot control the dialogue and discourse around it, which is great, right? All right, so anyway, guys, we have, we'll put that up probably tomorrow. We have an F scale. We did the fascist scale that Theodore Adorno's
book, The Authoritarian Personality. Within it is a test to determine how fascist you are, right? So it was kind of a tongue in cheek. We took the test and we're just kind of laughing at some of the obvious questions of why they were asking and framing them that way. So we'll put that up in the members section here soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to take a couple of the.
Valette says, great show is always Red Ice is the best. Thank you so much. Let's see. Look for the other ones. Dog Whistler, thanks for the shout out, Globalist. love Dog Whistler. Yeah, I got that. Archie, as to accepting refugees, no good deed will go unpunished. I can't stand the sound of Hebrew when they proudly say a concept in Hebrew that says, we'll destroy you with your charity. I know, it bothers me too. Whatever. Dog Whistler, thinking about the most influential globalists right now, David Rubenstein, Jamie Dimon, Soros, Blankenfein, Antony Blinken, Pfizer, Albert Bourla, all of the Trump's in-laws, but Bill Gates and Obama are Gentiles, so noticing anything is conspiracy theory, I guess. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, even Klaus Schwab, they are there as spokesperson, and of course there's other people and agendas controlling these people, but yes, I mean, if you look at, I mean, we've shown the article a couple of times, but like if you look at the World Economic Forum, I mean, there's a lot of influential people from the particular group that Jason Stanley belongs to. They're pulling the strings behind the scenes. They're pushing a Klaus Schwab out in the front kind of thing. You should still talk about that and expose it, because it's an open conspiracy now, essentially, right? But behind the scenes, as you say, I mean, David M. Rubenstein, right? He was the guy who now he invested over $10 million to convert James Madison and Jefferson's, Thomas Jefferson's houses into the only focus is not slavery.
And, $30 million in total for those two houses there in Virginia.
Yeah, we talked about it in the Weekend Warrior show, so check out that segment. But that's just one of them, right?
Den Mother, please to discover this writer on Substack. If you prefer something other than clickbait headlines and flash-in-the-pan stories, y'all might like it also. You take me to Fearful Symmetry. Okay, we'll check that out. Thank you very much. Den Mother says the writer has a series called Righteous Russia that I will read soon and just started a weekly wrap-up newsletter. Awesome. We'll check it out. Michael57DE, hello. Hail, Henrik. Hail, Lana. Hail, the gods. Just got here. Sorry I'm late. Happy Freya's Day. 14 words. And Dog Whistler says, when you have to have a narrative, you are doing something deceitful. Be yourself. Be authentic. Be proud of your heritage and ancestors, and all will be good. Happy Freya days. That's right. They're always having to construct it and control it and control the narrative. Control the narrative, right?
Deconstruct it, subvert it, say it's, reinterpret it through another
lens. That's what
lens
liars and, need to do. Constantly be keeping track that way. Constantly. Controlling, control freaks.
Worm tongue, right? That's what they call them. All right. So, yeah, let me take a couple of these on Odyssey, guys, and then we're going to start wrapping up here. Let me see here. Telling the truth, we did this. No, I think Lanigan, Chris Lanigan, the guy who I mentioned that before, has become misled on the JQ. He thinks something along the lines that Jews are white, largely disregarding the inevitable constant of racial solidarity and subversive opposition of Jews against whites. I hope you press him on this. I haven't heard what he said about that. I just know that he's, and I don't follow everything he does and whatever, but I've followed him on Gab, and is he on Twitter still? Maybe he was banned from there. I just know that he started talking about replacement. I'm just like, okay, great. Like, a real high IQ guy talking about replacement? Okay, good. We're getting somewhere. I'm not saying like he was late to the game. Maybe he saw this, but he's like, all right, I have to speak out against this. Reasonably, he saw this a while ago. But yeah, I'll look into more details if and when we do get him on the show, so we can talk about a broad discussion and ask about if there's any kind of points of contention and stuff like that. Thank you for that tip. Appreciate that. Midnight Sun says we need to gaslight the Jews to go back to their own country, since as a white nationalism is the greatest threat. Well, that's the thing, right? The miraculously, one thing that would solve all of this is actually nationalism. Each ethnic group gets their own territory. And then, voila, you solved racism. It'll never be a racist.
No, they want their own and ours.
Yes. Maybe there's one area where, okay, you do your multiracial thing here, but like, every single European country have to be the same. It's like despicable, you know what I mean? All right, guys, thank you. We'll continue actually over the weekend here and talk about the politics of fear, because we actually have a bit more on that. They're trashing our economy. They're trashing the economic system. They're trashing our energy. And then they have the gall to say that it's us who are fearful because we talk about replacement. I mean, it's incredible, right? So we'll go into that in a bit more. We have some other clips as well. Even Van Jones admitted that like things are shit since Biden took office, especially for blacks. He said it's like, well, it's your guys. You push that, you know. All right. Anyway, so guys, join us over the weekend here at redicemembers.com. You can sign up over there, but you can also sign up at subscribeshart.com/redice. That's one of the better places. $10 a month, but you can, of course, get a one-time subscription as well. We have, if you do it one time, we have subscriptions from 3 months up to 2 years. It gets cheaper if you do it 2 years. Well, it gets cheaper the longer you do it, but it gets as a 2-year subscription. It's about 35% off. You can sign up over at entropystream.live/redicetv as well. They do have a subscription option if you want to do it auto-recurring. Otherwise, you can do a one-time payment there. We have a Cash App option. We also have an e-check option for the U.S. audience. We do have a couple of other options as well. You can always write to us, by the way, redice@protonmail.com. For those, crypto, we do accept crypto, and we have a mailing address for you right there as well, if you want to do the good old-fashioned way. But yes, guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Also want to say special thanks to our executive producers here today, T. Lothrop Stoddard, V. Miller, Tomborn, Resin Revolt, Good Luck Lap, and Jake. Thank you, guys. We appreciate your support. Thank you so much for joining us for the executive producer tier over at Subscribestar. If you want to check that out, we do have four different tiers on Subscribestar. And, you know, if you want to get your name up there and stuff at the end of the show, executive producer or producer tier over at Subscribestar.com/redice, we'll get you those. Otherwise, what else? We got to put up the interview that you did on 314 as well.
Yep,
we had that
we'll
in the pipeline.
That.
It was, what was his name again? Oscar Swartz.
Oscar Swartz.
That's right. Yeah. So that's coming up, guys. But otherwise, I think that's it. We're going to wrap up right there. Thank you so much for joining us today. Have a great weekend. And we'll see you at redicemembers.com. Before you know it, do sign up. Don't take it for granted. Thank you so much for your support. A lot of love to you guys. Have a great one, and we'll see you soon.
See ya.
Take care.
Do you love Red Ice? Want more? Get access to exclusive material by signing up for a Red Ice membership. You'll be able to watch Weekend Warrior, our flagship show, the second hour of interviews, and other special feature videos only for subscribers. Were you a member and we lost you along the way? Renew! We love and appreciate you guys and gals and cannot do this without you. Help us be a sane voice, a lighthouse in the sea of insanity. As times get tougher, as people are searching for answers, they're going to need content like Red Ice. A little of all your support can go a long way. Thank you.